Does everyone like basketball?
All right, today on the podcast, we have a very special guest. We are joined by filmmaker Kat Jamie. Kat is a director, writer, producer of a documentary called Finding Big Country. The documentary covers Kat as she goes on a mission to find her childhood hero in former NBA basketball player Bryant Big Country Reeves. Kat, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast, and welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to get into this with you. A lot of my listeners don't know this, but I've been called Big Country ever since I was 8 years old.
No way, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was my nickname that I got in basketball from Bryant Reeves. I even had a flat top. I've got pictures to prove it.
That's awesome. That's
always awesome. Wore number 50, too.
No way, that's so cool.
Yeah, now I know you played some basketball, too, right?
I did, yes. In high school.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so we definitely have that in common. And you played all the way up until college?
Yes, I made it to second round of tryouts, and then unfortunately got cut from the UBC women's team.
Okay. You know, kind of growing up, were the Vancouver Grizzlies what kind of launched you into basketball, or were you already into that?
Into basketball, yeah. I think they fueled the fire for sure, but I had an older brother and I got into basketball when I was about, I'd say, 5 years old, and the Grizzlies came to town when I was seven, so they were definitely an inspiration to me to, you know, to be able to watch those high caliber players playing in your own backyard was just super special.
Yeah, that's awesome. Was there, I know you attended a lot of games because we see that in the documentary. If you had to guess, like, how many games did you actually go to?
Oh my gosh.
That's a tough one.
More than 20 games, maybe? Yeah. You know,
do you have a favorite memory or a player that you saw that was just amazing?
I mean, my brother, I'm pretty sure, got to see Michael Jordan play, and he also went to the Steve Francis game, Francis' first game back. So I think my brother, you know, went to more quote-unquote legendary games, but, you know, I was a kid, so I didn't really... Now, looking back, I'm mad that he got to go to these games, but I think one of my most vivid memories was when I went to go see Charles Barkley play with the Houston Rockets, and
cool.
Yeah, that was so crazy to see Charles Barkley, like, you know, in real life. So I remember that is a memory that still is imprinted in my mind.
Yeah, not only Chuck, but also Hakeem the Dream, Clyde the Glide Drexler's on that team.
Yeah, for sure.
That wasn't the year they had Pippen, was it?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Before he left and called Barkley fat.
Yeah.
That's cool. So give me a little insight into... I know what drew you into making the project. You love basketball, you love the Grizzlies, but how did this come about?
I guess I had always wanted to tell the story of the Vancouver Grizzlies, sort of the project and the film that I wanted to make, even when I was in film school at UBC. And when I was doing my research, I started to find that, you know, no one had been able to find Big Country. And it was sort of like every article I read ended with, like, we've tried to reach out, but Brian's the only guy that we, you know, we weren't able to get in touch with, or like, where in the world is Bryant Big Country? And so I was like, wait a second, like, is this a thing? So it was like, Finding Big Country is a thing. This is real. No one has been able to track him down or talk to him. And he's the only guy that hasn't spoken about his time in Vancouver publicly. So I was like, you know what, this will be like, and you know, Bryant was my favorite player growing up as well. So it was sort of like all the stars were aligning, I guess, to sort of tell the story. And obviously Bryant is the guy who takes, you know, is one of the guys, or if not the guy, that takes the most heat for what happened here as a player. So sure. I don't know. I just felt like all the stars were aligning to create this, you know, I couldn't have written a more perfect script, essentially, right? Like, if this was a fiction film, I'd be like, this is fake. This did not happen. So like that became my mission to find, and the angle that I was going to start, start going after.
Just to back up for a second, give a little context into how the Vancouver Grizzlies came to be. For our listeners that maybe grew up in, like, or were born in 2002, and they missed the entire Vancouver Grizzlies franchise history. Like, how did this team come up? And just give a little backstory into that.
For sure. So in 95, the NBA expanded into Canada. So we got two teams, the Vancouver Grizzlies and the Toronto Raptors. And, you know, you look at the Toronto Raptors and you see how much they've grown since, you know, since they were first came into the league. And it's crazy. And like I always say, like, Toronto is what we could have had here in Vancouver. And, I mean, Toronto also had years where they were, you know, just as bad as we were. But they stuck through it and maybe had a few better, obviously, draft picks. They, you know, Vince Carter, they drafted Air Canada, who's maybe a bit more flashy, mm-hmm. and you know, Tracy McGrady and whatnot. So we were only around for 6 years, and there are a lot of different factors that, you know, went into why the Grizzlies moved to Memphis. But, you know, I feel like we weren't really given a shot. And again, 6 years is, you know, it's expected for franchise teams to not do as well.
100%, but, yeah.
Yeah, and the team was, you know, a lot of people say that we were handcuffed. You know, there are a lot of rules that were put in place, I guess. So not so that we wouldn't succeed, but, you know, there were, when the NBA expanded a few years when the Orlando Magic was created. Right. They got into the playoffs super quickly, and a lot of people were upset about that. So that's why they put like more rules into the new expansion, which was the Toronto Raptors and the Vancouver Grizzlies. So, you know, for example, the team that we first started with, they were a team full of sort of leftovers and castaways. So every team in the league, they were able to set aside two players that they didn't want, and that was what we got to choose from. So that was our expansion team. We were a team made out of players that teams didn't want, and that's what our base was. But we still had, you know, Byron Scott, Greg Anthony, so we still had some like amazing players.
Yeah.
And then we had a draft pick. You know, we were drafting kids that were, you know, kids essentially. So it was a team full of, you know, veteran seniors who were sort of the last leg of their career, plus all these super duper young athletes. And that was sort of, yeah, that's what made up the Grizzlies. And we didn't, you know, we didn't go too far. We were the worst team, in fact, in the NBA.
Yeah, for a couple of years there. But you guys were on the come up when they decided to sell and go to Memphis, though. I think you're coming off like 22 win season.
Yeah, I think so things were getting better. And, you know, obviously, you know, there was controversy as to, you know, whether or not, you know, the team was bought with the intent to sell and relocate. Because that was obviously not when the team was bought. That was, you know, was said it was not the intention. But, you know, a lot of people say otherwise. So it's definitely interesting. You get all these different perspectives as to what actually happened.
Okay. So why Bryant Reeves? Why isn't this like finding Blue Edwards? Like, how did we land on Bryant Reeves?
Well, I mean, again, like, he was my favorite player growing up as a kid. He was our franchise player. He's a guy who I think became the poster boy for the Grizzlies. And he is also the guy who, again, took the most heat for what happened to the team. And, you know, a lot of people, it's either you understand how good of a player he was, and you understand that he was a great college player. He put up good numbers during his time in Vancouver. And if you look at his stats, he was actually a good player. Or, you know, I think that's, you know, a lot of the diehard basketball fans know that. But, you know, for the average fan, it was like, you know, he doesn't look like a basketball player. Why did we draft him? We wasted all this money on him, and yada, 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 yada. And so, I mean, it's not finding Blue Edwards, because Blue Edwards is, you know, I'm sure, you know, people have spoken to him and whatnot. And Bryant is obviously, you know, all those things aside, what I just mentioned, how he was, you know, number one draft player. And he's also became the scapegoat. And he just so happened to be the guy that no one had been able to track down. So all those three factors made for a perfect narrative for a film.
Definitely. And just to give a little context into how good Bryant Reeves actually was, he was a monster in college. He went to Oklahoma State, huge school, 21.5 points a game as a senior, led them to the Final Four. He gets picked sixth in the NBA draft, one pick behind a guy you may know, Kevin Garnett, audience, who goes on to be a NBA champ. I think he was MVP in the NBA Finals, too, at one point. So, I mean, he was a very, very good player. He had good years as an NBA player before injuries kind of took their toll around 98, 99. So that's a little context into Bryant Reeves. But why, Kat, I don't know if you found this out as you were talking to teammates and coaches, but why didn't they keep in contact with him?
Trying to remember in our conversations, but it was just, you know, it was just kind of, you know, said pretty straight up, like, no, I haven't spoken to Bibby since, since we left. And I think Sharif and Country might message each other every once in a while, but it's not like, you know, there is no, I know that, you know, Bryant loved playing with those guys and has nothing but like respect, for their game and for where they went off in their careers. Cause you know, Bryant was, he was forced into retirement, but Bibby and Sharif, you know, continued to play and were able to, you know, Bryant was saying like, you know, it was great to watch them and see where they went in their careers. But I think, yeah, I think it's just, you know, one of those things where you just kind of lose touch over time. And you know, Bryant's not someone who, you know, is active on, you know, really active on social media or like, you know, he really just speaks to, you know, his inner circle, which is, you know, his teammates from college and his family friends who live in Oklahoma.
Right. And he runs his own cattle ranch.
Yeah, he runs. He has his own cattle ranch that's on his property. Yeah.
And I want to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So it's not that he's a recluse. He's just a simple guy and he lives in the country and he's not TV analyst these days. Yeah, so we just don't see him a lot.
Yeah.
How excited would you be though if they reunited Sharif, him, Bibby, maybe a couple more, and they do the big three?
That would be.
Wouldn't that be that awesome?
Would
be
crazy. That would be insane. Yeah, I would. Oh man.
They renamed the team the Grizzlies.
Oh man, that would be pretty cool. I would, you know, I would fly up to wherever Ice Cube put them. Yeah, that'd be cool.
And I don't want to give away the story or anything, but you get a chance to meet him in person. First off, I was a huge fan. And just watching this, is he not one of the nicest guys on the planet?
Oh, he's the nicest guy on the planet for sure.
So you get to go through his man cave. There's so much memorabilia. I'm a huge collector myself. Like, what were some of the things that maybe didn't make the cut or something that you personally saw that just blew you away?
I mean, I think we saw, like, I definitely put the highlights in the film, but, you know, like, you kind of just see, like, how big of a, you know, you don't really realize, like, how big of a player he was, but, you know, he was on, you know, Frosted Flakes, Corn Pop boxes, you know, even, like, a Lunchable box, you know. It was really cool. Wow. I totally forgot to see that the Warner Brothers, you know, tried to make a shoe Space Jam was huge. They tried to put up their own line of basketball shoes, and so that was really cool to remember. And Bryant on his wall, he has like all the basketball cards that he was, you know, featured in, like framed. There's like three big frames of that.
Yeah.
All the on the walls, just all the photos of the legendary centers that he battled, so like Patrick Ewing, Dikembe Mutombo, Olajuwon, Michael Shaq. Jordan, Shaq. Yeah. So and then even just like, and there were albums that I was allowed to like look through, and it was just like all newspaper clippings from every, from like college days and from the Vancouver days. And it was just so cool to sort of go through all this kind of like family memorabilia that I think it was his grandmother who made
all
these.
That's what I was going to ask. Oh, okay. So grandma was the collector.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a really neat clip on YouTube of Shaquille O'Neal talking about him going one-on-one with Bryant Reeves and then looking up at halftime and Reeves had like 28 and he was just like, oh my gosh, he would just drop jump shots right over you.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a really nice shot for sure.
Yeah. Which is a perfect transition into my next question. You get to go play some basketball with Bryant Reeves.
I do.
Who's
it's crazy.
Every bit of 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
He's a massive guy. And you are, how tall are you?
I'm 5'1".
5'1". So we're looking at a pretty big disadvantage down low.
Yeah.
How long did he take the warm up?
We warmed up for, I don't know, maybe like 10, 15 minutes each.
Wow.
And then, there's a scene I got cut, and that's where before we actually play.
Yeah.
Brian actually teaches me all his signature moves, which is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. We were there for we were in his gym for, I'd say, maybe 2 hours playing. So, you know, his turnaround, down low. Yep. And, he showed me, all, and he, you know, I'm not a post, so my footwork as a post isn't that great. So we were there for a while.
Love that.
I'm potentially glad that I got cut because it was somewhat embarrassing on my part. But maybe we'll make a deleted scene edition of the film and include that. But yeah, it was so cool. And then I asked him to play with me. So that's why, you know, he works up a pretty good sweat, but it's also because we've been in there for quite a long time.
Oh yeah. And the one thing I noticed right away, he mentions he hadn't played in how long?
7 years, he says.
Seven years he hadn't picked up a basketball.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. I mean, the minute he walks in, I mean, I assume this is the first footage because he just walks in and starts dribbling. He's between his legs, around his back, and he's hitting jump shots. And it looks like he's just got right back on a bike because this man has a lifetime of playing basketball at the highest level.
Exactly. Yeah, you sometimes forget that. But he made his NBA. Your shot's not going to go just after a few years. Yeah.
Like for somebody like him, did you ask him? I don't know if you've had communication since you left. Does that rekindle something in him? Does he go back out the next day and shoot by himself?
I mean, that I'm not sure. Maybe. I mean, if he did, I wouldn't know just cause, I think Bryant is super content and when he says that he's happy, he really means it. He's super happy on his ranch and it's a beautiful property. And he has a beautiful family and such great friends. So, he's doing well. Yeah.
Where is he at health-wise now? Cause he left the league because of health reasons, but he runs a cattle ranch. That's not easy work.
No. Yeah, for sure. He's definitely not. But he puts in the time. He wakes up at 4 a.m., works out before that, and then hits the ranch and is there until maybe about noon and able to relax a bit. And then he's there, able to be there for his kids, whatever they need, pick up from school, driving to practice, watching a game. So, yeah.
Okay. What I'm getting at, Kat, is I think he can do the big three. I think we just need to speak this into reality here.
Oh man, that would be amazing. No, but I don't, it'd be a long shot to get him to agree, but Mike Bibby's already there. We just got to get Sharif and Reeves to agree. So
yeah, get a couple more guys. Obviously not Steve Francis.
Steve Francis is not allowed.
So on your way out the door, and maybe this was next day stuff, but he sends you off with some memorabilia. And I think this is a really cool plot point of this story. And I want you to kind of tell it and put some context into what you received and where you took it.
So I received this was another sort of scene that got cut, or we had to shorten it, was when I left, I actually had a bag full of stuff for him to sign.
Yeah.
And it was like a Mary Poppins bag. It was never ending. And I just kept taking things out. And can you sign this and this and this? And I even took out about 50 basketball cards. And we had to go back inside his house and he signed every single one of them for me. And
that's awesome.
And then before I left, he points at my cinematographer, Mike, and he's like, don't keep rolling. And then he goes back inside and I had no idea what he was doing.
Oh, wow.
And then he comes back out with a shoe and the jersey. And he's like, it's a game worn shoe, game worn jersey. It's for a super fan. And then he signs it for me, which is so crazy. So I took it to the BC Sports Hall of Fame because, the only thing that they had on display was of the Grizzlies was one basketball. And so
very sad.
Yeah, but you know what? They actually have taken down the display.
Oh no!
So I'm trying to work, on a permanent display because I've been getting a lot of emails and Instagram messages saying that because of the film, people have been going to go check the display out, but it's not there. So working on a permanent display to get something up there because I think even though we were not the greatest team, the Grizzlies were, they're a huge part of you know, Vancouver and BC's history.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like they need to be celebrated.
No, and especially, I mean, the display that you have is the first pick franchise history. It's NBA history, too.
Yeah, for sure. So,
you know, maybe it should be in the NBA Hall of Fame as a display.
Yeah, so, true.
I don't know what they have for Vancouver. That would be interesting. So might be something to look into there. But let's talk a little bit about what's coming down the pipeline for you. So I know you were showing the documentary in cinemas in Oklahoma last month, and then you've got some stuff going on this month. So if there's anybody in the British Columbia area, where can they go catch a screening?
For sure. So we are going to be screening 6 days at Van City Theater. You know, check out, you can head to our website or any of our social media handles. There'll be a link for ticket. December 7th is the first screening. Then we go 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 13.
Yeah.
I will be there for each screening. We'll be selling some merch. And also, there'll be a Q&A on the 7th and 8th. We'll be there as well.
Awesome. And that's Van City Theater in Vancouver. You can find all that on findingbigcountry.com.
Yeah. Just head to our screenings tab and you'll be able to locate tickets.
Yeah. What's next for you, Kat? I know you gotta do all this stuff with the festivals and still trying to find placement for the documentary, but what do you have coming up for yourself?
Next, this might excite you, but no, now it's the feature-length film about the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Oh, awesome.
That's the next story that I'm going to tell. So sort of what happened and who's responsible for our team leaving our city.
Yeah. I love it. There should be a place for that on ESPN. I'm just saying 30 for 30.
Yeah, exactly.
She's hopefully available for hire, ESPN.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Right? Yeah, you did an awesome job on this. Like, as a fan of his, like, I personally just thank you for like bringing him back out into the spotlight. I put it up on my Facebook, and people are like, "Big Country, that's you." I'm like, "No, not me. The other Big Country, the real one."
That's hilarious. That's so funny.
So it's just cool that, you know, we get some more Bryant Reeves in our life, even if just for a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, plug your social media for me, Kat. Where can our audience find you and follow you?
For sure. So it's at Finding Big Country. That's on Instagram and Facebook, or at Finding Big C on Twitter. And then my Instagram handle and Twitter handle is KJamie_films.
Kat, thank you so much for coming on the show. I will be sure to plug anything when it comes out, because I'm a huge fan. I love this. I was going to watch it 3 or 4 more times, but it was already taken down. I was like, okay, I'll just buy the DVD. Where is it?
Take my money. Yeah. For sure. I'll keep you posted. You know, you can also subscribe to our newsletter for all updates of, you know, when we have updates about when we're back online or, you know, all that stuff. So you can go to findingbigcountry.com and sign up for our newsletter for screenings and all the other information.
All right. Awesome. Kat, have a good rest of the day. Thanks for coming on.
You as well. Thanks so much, Kyle.
All right, I just wrapped the interview with Kat Jamie of Finding Big Country documentary. Again, check it out, findingbigcountry.com. Very good documentary. I loved it. I can't wait to buy it. I'm excited about that. I will share that when it comes out. And I want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to this episode. As always, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, CastBox. All full episodes are up on YouTube. And then remember to rate, review, and subscribe. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/backintimepod, Twitter, Instagram. And you can email us at backintimepodcast@gmail.com. But it's that time of the episode to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and we return back to present day. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode as we dive into Scrooged with Big Ben from the Angry Dad podcast. Talk to you in a couple days. See ya.